Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. I'd like to do a commentary on day 37. The Bible chapter is Luke chapter 10, and it's verses 41 and 42. And it reads, "Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Luke 10:41 and 42. Lately, I have been thinking a lot about peace. People have this desire to have peace. They want peace in their land. They want peace in their home. But we want to understand that peace has to begin with those who want it on the inside. It has to be an inside job of that peace. And Jesus is at peace because we have much turmoil inside as we think about the things that we have done wrong and we continue to do wrong. And we will continue to do wrong without the power of the Spirit living in us. And that power of the Spirit is given when we come to Jesus and accept the gift that He desires to give to us. That gift is the gift of eternal life through the blood that He shed for our sins. So we have to have enough humility to realize that we're sinful people, that we do things that go against the desires of what God wants for us. We do that every day. And we can try to wash away our sins by doing outer things, you know, like what I did for many, many years. I cannot even tell you how many inventories I wrote and gave away, how many inventories I took from other people. But it's the truth of this, is that there's only one sin bearer. His name is Jesus Christ. He is God. He's God in the flesh. You know, God has manifested Himself three ways. He's a Father, He's a Son, and He's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is that manifestation of a Son of God. He is the Son of the living God. And I remember one time seeing a it was a judge. It was a story. I don't know if it was true or not. And the father was a judge, and he made certain laws that could not be broken, and also certain consequences for these laws. And it turned out that his son was going to. His son broke the laws. And I think the consequences were such that he would be beaten. And the father took the place of the beating for the son because the son was not going to be able to take it and live. He would not live if he got the beating that was required for the payment. And then essentially, this is what the Lord has done for us. He has made laws, and these laws are not to be broken if we want to have a good life and if we want to have eternal life with Him. His commands are for our good because we have to remember there is an adversary that could be stronger than us if we did not have the Lord Himself living in us. Now, that adversary is not stronger than us in the Lord. When we're in the Lord, that adversary cannot overtake us. And so God has come so that we can come to Him, have this covenant relationship with Him, where He binds Himself to us with certain promises. And a covenant, you know, is that we have a binding, so we are bound to Him, and there's certain things that we want to keep in mind. And our part is obedience. You know, we are called to obey the Lord. And when we don't obey Him, we suffer. We suffer. That's the consequences of a broken covenant when we break that agreement that we have with God. And so Jesus, here we are, you know, in the story, He is coming to live before the people, which He is doing. And later, as we go through the gospel, we'll see that He died. He paid that payment for the people. And He rose again to show that death could not hold Him. And our job, or, you know, if we are smart, we will, if we are wise, I should say this better, we will take what He is offering to us. We'll take that. And but if we reject it, we are sinning. If we reject it, He's not going to make us take it, but if we don't take it, we will suffer. And we don't have to suffer that. And that is why we read the Word. We're in the Word to know about covenants. We learn about the old covenant that He had with people and the new covenant that He has with us now. And we want to keep Him before us in our minds and in our hearts. And this is why we read the Bible. And in this story, Martha and Mary, they're actually living at a time when Jesus is walking the earth, when God became man and made His life, you know, among man. And so they're living there, and they can see, and they have heard Him speak. They know who He is. At one point, another part of the story in Luke is that eventually their brother is going to get sick, and they're going to call for Jesus, and Martha is going to say, "You are the resurrection and the life." They know who He is. They do. But this story is a reminder is that we don't merely just know who Jesus is or about Him. You know, part of that agreement is to follow Him, to listen to Him, to put Him first. He needs to be a priority in our lives. And like I said, and like He said, actually, that no one can serve two masters. We can't serve two masters. We can't have, He's not sharing first place with anybody. It's not a double lead that He's doing here. He is saying, follow Me. Follow Me. Put Me number one in the priority. And I want to do that every day, and I want to do it throughout the day. And I do find this, and that when I start my day, I have a much better chance than when I put Him on the back burner. And so, no, I don't want to do that. And I don't want to fool myself that I'm putting Him first by giving Him what I call a light touch. A light touch, boy, that is the, and that's another way that the devil can fool us. You know, one of the things that we learned in the, when we were in the end of last year, you know, it's a few weeks ago, and we read a lot of books of prophecy. And these prophets were trying to tell the people, stop giving God the leftovers. And stop fooling yourself where these people, they were going through the motions. Oh, the temple, the temple, the temple. How wonderful the temple. And they would come on the holy days and they would sacrifice and they would fast. But even later on, when Jesus came, or at, you know, we're going to see in the gospel, he says, you know, you know, and in fact, before Jesus even spoke to them about, you know, saying, Lord, Lord, you know, but I didn't know you. Isaiah, one of the prophets, said this in 29:13. Isaiah 29:13 says, these people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by man. And let me tell you, I can do some light touching with the Lord, and I ask for him to convict me when it happens. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to be checklisting my time in the Word. I want to give him the priority of my life. And that means that I want to be sincere when I am with him. And I do want to be consistent. It definitely is one day at a time that I do this. But it also is day by day that I want to do it. So I find personally my morning time is a very important time of the day. It is a time of remembering who I am in the Lord. It's a time of washing up again, washing those feet that have strayed and gone in the wrong direction, looking over and really drawing in close to the Word of God, so that, as the Bible says, I have hidden your Word in my heart so that I do not sin against you. And so I want to hide the Word of God in my heart. I want to know his Word. I want to live it out. And when I'm in it and I find that I'm not there, you know, my heart is not there, to truly pray, God, please, take my heart and bring it to this moment and let me know that you are Lord of my life. In this reading in the back, it has a question that I really had to learn about. You know, abstinence is very important. Learning the discipline for me of weighing and measuring my food without exception was a biggie. Planning my food, not being random and impulsive about my food. You know, I don't want to put the Lord to the test. And I want to remember what God even says in Matthew 5. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, you pluck it out and throw it away. You know, it's better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, you cut it off, you throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to go into hell. And what he's saying is that there are certain things that we don't, want to leave in our lives, because what they do is that they draw us in the wrong direction. They draw us away from the Lord. They draw us away from the Lord, and we don't want that in our lives. And so we have to do sometimes what looks like drastic things to keep from being drawn in the wrong direction. We have to cut off things. We have to cut out relationships. We have to cut out habits of what we are doing. And those of us who struggle with the sin of compulsive eating, we have learned that we have had to be very diligent in our food, not random and impulsive about that, of our eating. We need the nutrition every day, but we don't, we don't just run into it because in the past we have found that that is a trigger. We don't do that. We cut off the means that would cause us to go into that. And to some people, it seems like a hardship, what we do with our food, being disciplined. And for some people, it seems like pride. And for some people, they do use it. They try to use it as pride. But that's not the mindset that God wants us to be in. It's not a prideful thing that we do. It is a surrendered thing that we do. It's a thing that we are grateful for, that we have that willingness to be, you know, disciplined for Jesus' sake. The Bible even tells us that we are showing fruitfulness when we do that. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, they talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so, yeah, we want to use control regarding that food, not randomly, impulsive, not popping food to change our moods, to live in ways that honor, you know, God-honoring eating, so that we can remember our desire to eat, to live in a God-honoring way. Remember that the food, when it's eaten randomly and impulsively like that, and since we have that history of false God with the food and idolatry, it can alter our thinking. We can go back into blindness. And remember, there is an adversary who is more than willing to bring us back to this blindness. But in the back of this reading, it says in the second bullet, is it possible to be a Martha when it comes to preparing abstinent meals? Having a tin meal becomes your most important consideration at mealtime. Do you ever think of a shared eating experience as an opportunity to witness? When was the last time you reminded yourself that there was another meal coming? Have you opted for a simpler meal in order to have a better time of fellowship with another? And like I said before, if we're taking our abstinence to a past what you know, is meant to be, where it is a badge of honor. Ooh, I weigh and measure my food. I'm so great, you know, in doing that. Yeah, we are to weigh and measure our food, but we're not to use it as a banner of honor. Ooh, I'm better than you. Look what I can do. I don't eat like you eat or anything like that. No, we keep in mind how God found us and what we were like. And again, I want to just encourage myself and you too, that we want to stay clear, clean, and committed because of our sinful behavior that we had ourselves with food. And we also want to keep a clear head so that we can think of our primary purpose, which is to help people to know Jesus. And if we're fighting with them, if we're mean and hateful thinking of them, if we're competing with them and all of that, we're missing the mark. But let me pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we want to be peaceful people, living peaceful lives, We want to be your ambassadors, Lord. We want our yes to be yes and our no to be no. We're so very, very grateful for all that you do in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And I'll turn it